Welcome to this podcast for St. Peter's Church Greenhill, as we seek to become loving, witnessing, and growing people.
How do we live? We live boldly, fearlessly, passionately, and unceasingly. This is an energetic, motivated community with a lot of energy, doing radical things. Because we wanted to push ourselves to do more and to be more. It was exciting. Although there's a problem that we soon faced. I faced it almost as soon as I landed. And that all this energy is exhausting. That if we want to do these passionate, bold, fearless, reckless, unceasing things, you have to have energy. We have to have resources to invest the time, money and energy into them. And we soon found that actually we were dwindling, that we were struggling, that rugs were being pulled from underneath us, and suddenly these curveballs were spiralling us out of that energy and that momentum. And so, what I tried to do, once we'd established why and how we wanted to live, suddenly, right, how are we going to sustain that? And so I did what many of you will think is boring, but I put in a whole load of structures, not just because of bureaucracy for bureaucracy's sake, but in order to try and uphold us and sustain us, to give us as best a chance to continue living this way as we can. So it doesn't rely on just one person being really passionate and really energetic, really active. And that's where this phrase, as family we go, came. We do things together. Because there's that old proverb, those who go fast go alone, but those who go far go together. That nothing is worth doing and investing our time, money and energy if we're not going to do it together. And that has frustrated a lot of people who want to go fast. Because it was like, well, we're not going to have everyone. So, you know, but that's why we love. We love those who are scared. We share with them. We encourage them. We seek for them. And we pray for them. This is how we live. And why we do it. Which then leads us to, what do we do? The closest I have got ever, really, to saying this is what we're going to do has been our mission action priorities, which we've been living with for the last 3 years, 2 or 3 years. And we are going to present some new ones for the next 2 or 3 years. I want you to hear those very much as starters for 10. They have to be done because we value love, sharing, seeking and praying. And we do it together as a family. So although we've got high hopes, we're also aware that curveballs will come in, be they in 5 years' time, a year's time, 6 months, or next week. Whatever those curveballs are, we are going to do it because we value these things. But it all has to underpin the vision. And our vision is very simple. We want to become loving people. As we welcome others into a shared life. We want to become witnessing people. As we live transformed lives because of all that God has done for us. And we want to become a growing people. As we seek to know God and experience his love more. Loving, witnessing, growing. These are what we do. It's what we're seeking to do. It's to become. And we want to invest our time, money and energy into that. As I say, we've got some more specifics as to how that might be worked out. But it's all got to be underpinned by the why and the how. So that whatever we face, we can do it as a family, we can do it sustained, and we know why we're doing it. Which brings me to a curveball. In December, Philippa was invited and accepted the role of interim associate minister in Clayton, Fairweather Green and Ollerton. which is northwest of Bradford. Which means, sadly, I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to be leaving on the 3rd of April to go and support Philippa in her new ministry. This means we have 3 months of me, and then it's over to you to live out the vision and the values. It is going to be really sad for me to leave. And I'm sure that news may come as a surprise to many of you. For others, you might have been expecting it. However you're feeling about that, I want you to remember that curveballs do come, but it doesn't change what God is doing in this place. And so I'm going to invite Chris Stebbing, who's the Associate Archdeacon Transition Enabler of Ecclesall and Outercliffe. It's too long a title. He's going to come and tell you how the diocese is going to support you after I leave and what this might mean for St. Peter's. Chris, over to you.
Thank you, Ned. Well, it's a bit of a bombshell for me to follow, isn't it? Shall we just pray for Ned and Philippa before we go any further? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your calling on each and every one of our lives. And we thank you now in particular for your calling on Philippa and Ned's lives. Lord, we're so sorry that Ned's going to have to move on. But we know that you've got a new chapter and a new work, a new ministry for him ahead of him. Pray your blessing upon him and Philippa now. And as we think about the life of the church here at St. Peter's, give us confidence, Lord, in you and that you will sustain us and see us through. Amen. Okay, well, good morning, everybody. My name is Reverend Chris Stebbing. I don't think many of you know me, actually. I think perhaps Michelle and Simon do, but not so many others. So for about the last 9 years, I was the vicar at St. Luke's at Lodge Moor, which is sort of over that way. And then for the 9 years before that, I was vicar at St. John's at Park, Park Hill High Park area. But now I have the, yes, Ned did very well to remember the glorious title, Associate Archdeacon Transition Enabler. Yes. It's no more money, I can tell you that. But what that means is I have 31 churches now, like yourselves, who I support when they're going through times of change. And this is going to be a time of change for you guys, because you'll be... So, you'll be moving into the whole Dawson Vision thing. Can I have my... Yeah. How do we work the slides? If I do my sort of Star Wars, these aren't the droids you're looking for, can you take that as a... excuse to click things on. Simon's got it at the back. Okay. Next slide, please, Simon. Okay. So, there is a diocesan vision and a diocesan strategy to enable that to happen. So, this is for all the Church of England churches, Sheffield, Rotherham, Doncaster, and parts of Barnsley. The diocesan vision. And it's about... the whole people of God for the whole mission of God. Now, you might be thinking that actually isn't that self-evident? Isn't that what Christianity is? I agree with you. This is why I took this job on. I think being a Christian is not just about turning up to church on a Sunday morning. It's about living for God every day of the week. And that is what the new diocesan vision wants to promote. The whole people of God, everybody here, playing an active part in the work of God here in this place and in this community. Okay. So, we're wanting to encourage more whole life active disciples. And less dependence on paid clergy. We'll be coming to that soon. We also want to encourage a greater variety in what it means to be church. I think for too long, people have thought being the church has been about turning up to a building like this on a Sunday morning, and that's about it. But actually, being a Christian, which is what being the church is so much more than that. It changes your life completely. I know when I became a Christian in my 20s, it was a complete turnaround in my life. And we want more people to realise that. So, yeah, greater creativity and variety in what church is, what being church is, and greater collaboration. I don't want to go into to bore you with things. But it's a lot better, isn't it, to work together with other churches close by. What's the point of having four churches struggling to do one thing individually when you could do that a whole lot to get better together? So a good example of that is something like a youth group. It's really hard for four churches who've got like three or four young people each to each have their own youth provision. Doesn't it make complete sense in today's world for all those four children from each of the four churches to come together and be a group of about 16? And that's a lot easier to resource, and it's actually better for the young people themselves. There's more of a buzz about a bigger group than that. And that's just one example of a whole group of things that are better done together with other local churches in partnership rather than on your own. So, okay, now I don't know how well you can see. In fact, I'm going to have to turn around and look at a picture as well. Excuse me. Okay, so this picture's been around for a while. There's a posh video that goes with it now as well, if you get the chance to see it another time. But we're moving to a pattern which the diocese call oversight ministry. So in the same way, in simple terms, in the same way that in the countryside, for many years, it's been quite normal for one minister to have oversight of two, three, four, even five or six churches, a similar but different pattern is coming into cities now. So we're moving to a pattern in the Diocese of Sheffield. They call it oversight ministry. So that will mean... Yeah, and we might as well move straight to the next one, please, Simon. So, you guys are in a mission area here with Norton Lees, with Norton St. James, and with Woodseat. So that's four churches. So, the pattern for you guys will be, you are allocated in the new scheme, two ministers to oversee four churches. Now, I realise that's a change from the way things have been in the past, but it's happening everywhere. All over the diocese. So that will be the pattern. You have two ministers who share oversight between the four churches. Now, in practice, those two ministers will work together, and in theory, they are shared over all four churches. But in practice, it will mean one minister shared between here and St. James, and one between Norton Lees and Woodseats, but they'll work together. Okay. And then, wait for it, each church will have to put together its own team of focal ministers to be the ministers who are permanently for that one particular church. Now, you've probably already got quite a good team of volunteers and lay ministers and lay leaders here. Yeah, to some extent at least. Well, they're going to become the main people here. So that when people want to ring up and arrange for a baptism or a christening or something like that, there'll be somebody here from the local congregation who's that contact point and who can make sure that that can happen, that kind of thing. And those people will be called focal ministers. So if you're a baptised and you're a committed Christian, you can volunteer to be a focal minister, to be a part of a team here in this church under the oversight of the paid minister, but who will ensure that the wheels stay on the wagon, that the things keep going, and that the ministry keeps growing and reaching out to the local community. So that will be the next stage for you guys, really, to think about who here could offer to be a focal minister. And you might have a sort of specialism. You might think, well, I'm already very involved in children's work. Okay, I'm happy to be the person who will be the focal minister for children's work, the point of contact for children's work within this church. You might say, well, I already have a role in this church in pastoral care. Right, okay, then I'd be happy to be the focal minister for pastoral care within this church. And be the contact point for people. If you know somebody's gone into hospital and they need visiting, I'll be that contact point. Now, it doesn't mean you'll do all that. No one person could do that. But there does need to be, doesn't there, somebody who people know is the point of contact. Otherwise, it's quite easy to say, well, everybody knew that needed something needed doing, but nobody actually did it or made it happen. So focal ministry, you'll need to get together a focal ministry team here within this church to ensure both its weekly running for services like this, but also to think about what's appropriate in terms of mission and outreach in this place. Now, you'll be receiving the support and the guidance of your oversight minister, but the practicality is they won't be able to give as much time to this one particular parish as Ned has been able to. So that is the new pattern of ministry, oversight ministry, and focal ministers. Yeah, I think we must be about there, old Simon. So, for you guys to think about, it's a time to pray and to reflect about the life of the church here. What's good and needs to be celebrated and supported to ensure that it can continue when Ned moves on and when you move into the pattern of oversight ministry. Also, you've got to say, well, are there things which we've been doing for ages and ages, but they've never borne any fruit and they take a lot of time and energy? Maybe we just need to let them go. And also to think, well, are there opportunities here in this parish that actually we've never really taken up? Is there something new that we should be thinking about starting in the area, a way that God could be at work here through us? Those are things to think about too. And if you wanted to, actually, I could come to a PCC meeting or something, and we've got like a little, they call it sustainability tool, a self-reflection tool, to help people to think through those kind of issues. So it's a time to think and pray. Let me encourage you. There's some time, but 3 months, actually, it'll quite soon be April. 3 months will quite soon pass. So let me encourage you to use this time in between to start thinking about this whole focal ministry thing. Think about God's calling on your life. What's God's calling you to do in the coming weeks, months, years, to support the life and ministry of the church here, which is partly why this is a good time for me to come in, as you're in your Vision Sunday. And you might want to invite Sally Myers to come and talk to people about, well, what's the practicality of being a focal minister? Is it doable? So potentially, what would I be signing up for if I talked about that? Sally could come and speak to you about that. So, I'm going to stay around at the end of the service today. Please do come and chat to me. But it seems only fair to you guys to be as honest and open as we can to say, with Ned moving on, that is what the future is going to be like. And it's not just here, it's every church throughout the diocese. A number of churches have got this scheme into practice, and it's actually working pretty well. But everybody's going to have to move into this new pattern of ministry. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please do stop and chat to me later. Bye-bye.
Lots of information, lots to take in. As means of encouragement to say, all the work that we've been doing, certainly over my time and even before, has set us up for this. It's not a bigger change as it may sound. We already have PCC committees overseeing all aspects of our church. A team of people who meet, who discuss, who know what's going on, and we've been strengthening those over 5 years. If you want to be more involved or you want to find out more, those are the people that to talk to. They're finally up on the board by the entrance. You can go and find out who's on each committee so you know who to talk to, who's going to be overseeing the serving and welcome aspect of our church, the prayer and worship, the discipleship, the community and the operations. We have these structures already in place to sustain us in this. We also have already established mission action priorities as to what is feasible. We've looked at the resources, and yes, there are some opportunities that we have moving in. There are things that will need to change. There will things we've already discussed as a PCC as to what's required. And again, the question now, as we present these priorities for the next 2 or 3 years, is to ask, are we going to invest time, money and energy into these opportunities? So I'm going to start to share them, and I'm going to invite Michelle and Simon up in a moment to share from their particular committees that they oversee. But I'm going to start with with prayer and worship. Prayer and worship have reflected on our values and on our vision. And one of the successes of the last at least 5 years, but as I say, over as well, and before my time, has been the development of this worship's time, the 10:15 service, to bring together quite diverse worship preferences and styles, to bring them together into one family, one expression. It's still frustrating, yes. It's still not all perfect the way that I individually want it or you individually want it, but we celebrate and want to invest in the diversity in worship. This is what the prayer and worship wants to spend its time, money and energy on, investing and celebrating diversity in worship. This means offering more opportunities throughout the year to try different things, to partner with others, to signpost to other opportunities, such as a mission partnership or ecumenical partnership or the Terminus Initiative are beginning to explore how they might become a worshipping community, how you might want to support them in their diversity, but also about investing money in the resources of worship, i.e. the AV and the audiovisual stuff and the sound and all of that sort of stuff. So we want to prioritise that, as well as increasing the opportunity to engage in prayer, to look at our prayer life, to find ways in which we can encourage one another. That might be developing what's already the WhatsApp prayer group amongst us, or leading into involvement such as prayer life, to restart that and begin it again across the mission partnership, but starting very much from here. These are the things that prayer and worship wants to invest its time, money and energy in. I wonder if you as an individual would also like to invest your time, money and energy into that. This is what this form is for. I would invite Michelle to come up to share about the discipleship and community. Do you know them off by heart or do you want to borrow this?
Hi, so for those that know me, you know words are not my strong point, so this is going to be fairly short and sweet. So I head up discipleship and community. One of the main focuses we're going to be looking at is sort of regathering people. We're doing this sort of in two areas. So this pastoral side, a lot of our pastoral work is done in small groups. Before the pandemic, we had over 50% of the church in small groups. Obviously, during the pandemic, things have changed, and we would like to get back to that position. Small groups are a great place, not only for discipleship, but they're also a great place for pastoral, sort of day-to-day care. As pastoral worker, I will still be there for support, but a lot of our pastoral work is done in small groups. The other thing is resources for small groups. We want to sort of develop those, and not just small groups, but whole life discipleship, youth work, all the sort of tools. But again, we don't want to do that on our own. So one of the things we'll be exploring is doing this in as a mission partnership. So getting together lots of resources as a mission partnership. That's it.
Again, if you want to invest your time, money and energy into increasing pastoral capacity here and also resourcing all of us, the whole people of God, with tools and resources, then please do indicate on the form when given the opportunity. I'm going to talk about operations committee. Operations committee is often seen as the dull and boring one, but actually it's the real motor house. It's an advisory committee, really, for the PCC, including quite a lot of people with expertise in practical things, such as looking after the resources, the fabric, the finances, the legal side of all of the ministry here at St. Peter's. It advises on all of that. And the operation sees itself very much as a supportive committee for all the others to make sure that the resources are there and that they are used appropriately and efficiently. The operation's main focus for the next 2 or 3 years is to increase the income. We have got financial challenges here at St Peter's, and we'll be talking a lot more about that over the next 4 weeks. We're going to be doing a series looking at resources and particularly focusing on our finances. So I'm not going to talk too much about it today, but the operations committee is going to be seeking to improve the parish centre as a viable source of income, to increase our welcome of new groups and to support and to connect with people. So if you are passionate about that, then please do indicate on the form. The other thing that the operations committee are going to be focusing on is developing an operations manual, i.e. so that all the things that need to be done get done. And that's really simple and it's really easy, so that people can step in and do it as a family. They can do this work together, and it's not just landed on a single point of failure with someone, one person doing everything. Actually, it can be shared out because it's got instructions and teaching and all that sort of stuff. So I'll be developing that. Simon, I'm going to come up and talk about serving and welcome.
I am going to wing it. Thank you, but big booming. So serving and welcome, that's really our kind of outreach into the community, and the way that we bless the people who live around the church and in our parish. And one of the key things that we do at present is Makerspace, which is our youth group that takes place on a Wednesday, that we managed to keep going quite successfully over the pandemic, meeting online, but now we're meeting again in person. And we resource that. We pay for a youth worker, Joe Corrigan, who works with Makerspace, but also goes into the secondary schools as school pastors and assists with the youth group at St Chad's, so we're already doing some of what Chris was mentioning. Now, we have received grant funding for Joe's salary for the next 2 years-ish, I think. So we are resourcing that, and we are trying to make it sustainable through grant funding. But that's a significant cost to the church, but something that we feel is very important to bless the community around us. We're looking at resources and how we can bless our community, and one of the huge resources that we have is this building and the grounds. And so other things that we're looking at partnering with organisations to try to use our resources well to bless the community. And one of the groups that we've been exploring with is Greener Greenhill, which is a group that's set out to try and improve the environmental offering, if you like, around the around Greenhill. We're looking at partnering with them. For example, we have our borders around the church, which are somewhat overgrown, and we're considering putting in perhaps an edible hedge so that we can bless the wildlife and people who can come and pick berries and so forth. And hopefully that would make it less taxing to maintain than it is at the minute, because we'd control the plants in there rather than having bramble runners all across our paths. We've been talking to Healy City Farm about using the resource up on the roof of our church and whether we could keep bees up there, because it's a massive flat area that is pretty inaccessible. So we've been looking at things like that, and again, that's an environmental thing. So we're looking at various things like that. The other thing that I wanted to mention was we've also been looking at reaching out into the community. So the community has had two events recently. A Halloween event where children could go out and trick or treat in safety, because they knew where they were heading, and there was displays and activities as well. And we took part in that very successfully. To hand out little tracts on why why is Jesus, or why is a Christian like a pumpkin? If you want to know, you're going to have to ask Michelle. I can only remember that like a jack-o'-lantern, because God scoops out the bits inside and puts goodness in. That's the only one I can remember. But yes, we also took part in the Christmas in Greenhill, again, supporting the local community, providing our church for a Christmas concert, singing carols together. And we want to do more of that. That's really low-cost things that we can help, just to be a presence in the community and a constant reminder of God in our community. Sorry, I've taken way too long.
Thanks, Simon. All of those things could seem like really disparate stuff, but they do hold together. We talked about our vision statement to become loving, witnessing and growing people. Some new words, really, not to supplant them at all, but maybe to help us to explore what it might mean to be loving, witnessing and growing people. And these three words, gathering, healing, connecting, these are what we felt God calling us to do for the next 3 years, to gather people, resources, information, to heal, to recover, to find places where people can come and receive that, and for ourselves to receive that, and to connect more, to do the partnership, that the collaboration that Chris talked about a moment ago. We're going to pray now. It's really important, to pray, to discern, to listen to God for yourself as to what you're going to invest your time, money, and energy in. This is where form is really useful. So do get it out and use it as a prayer aid with a pen. I'm going to encourage you to fill it in now. But we're going to pray as we do it. Ticking on this is an offer of interest. It's not a contract. You're not writing a contract that says, right, that's it, you're done, in blood. It's just starting a conversation, beginning to explore what that might look like. So if there's something where you're going to go, I don't know how to do that, or I don't know what that might look like, but I'm interested, something stirring in me, please do indicate that. That's both practical things on Sunday worship. Indicate what you currently do, what you might want to change, what you might want to start taking up. But also of those priorities that we've just gone through, maybe something has caught your attention, you've gone, oh, I've got an idea about that. Then do tick the form. So I'm going to lead us as we pray. Lord God, you do indeed call us as a family to the mission of your church, to continue your work that you started in Jesus Christ, to bring your kingdom into this place and into our lives. Lord, with our resources, however they're feeling at the moment, where they're feeling abundant or they're feeling scarce, Lord, you take small amounts to make great things happen. Encourage us, Lord, to look at what we have been given by you to use for your glory rather than what we feel like we don't have. Give us boldness, Lord. Give us fearlessness. Give us passion. Remind us of that unceasing nature of your love and your action in the world. May we be swept up once more in those values that we have lived under. And we commit to again.